be saved. Amen. I want to say a word about the Word of God. I've been thinking all day today. I've been thinking about Hebrews 4:12. Remember that verse? For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Are y'all listening to me now? Do y'all really believe that? Yeah, and sister saying about the promises of God, they are wonderful. You know, and when we talk about, we sing about promises of God or testify about the promises of God, we generally always think about the good promises of God, the good things He's promised for us. But y'all do know if those good promises are good and true and will not fail, you do know that the other promises, the negative promises, are just as true as the others. When he said, whosoever was not written in the Lamb's book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now that's promise from God. I mean, that is as much promise as whosoever believes on Him shall receive everlasting life. And so God's word is absolutely true. Y'all do believe that? Well, now don't answer this, because God may put us to a test sometime shortly. Do you believe that word so strongly that you will stake your life on it? Yeah. Now, that's something that may be coming down the road. I'm telling you that maybe. Matter of fact, I watched a little clip of a man. Of a trial situation. A man in Seattle, Washington, and whenever the Supreme Court voted down the Wade versus Roe thing, and there was a riot out there, and all these radicals gathered out there, and one preacher came out there and just stood on the street, and all he did was just read the Word of God. And they physically grabbed his Bible, ripped the pages out of his Bible, and then threw him down the ground, picked him up, and dropped him on his back on the concrete. Do you know who got arrested? He did. All he was doing was reading the Bible. He got arrested. And it took 2 years for him to be exonerated just for reading the Bible. Do you believe it enough to stake your life on it? Now, with that said, I want to say this, and just give you my heart and this thought here. And I was thinking today about that passage in Hebrews 4 about the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I asked my wife today, I said, what has happened to the quickness and the sharpness of the Word of God? What's happened to it? I told my wife this morning, I was talking to her, and I said, girl, I remember, I've got this one particular service I remember in mind when I was preaching in my church, and there was two of our ladies, our piano player, and another lady was sitting right beside her on the second pew, on the side. And that day, we were like you, we only had two rows of pews. I remember I was preaching that day, and the lady sitting in the second lady, she was there. I was preaching, and that lady just literally fell over on the other lady. I mean, the Spirit of God and the Word of God so pierced her and brought such conviction, she literally fell over on that other lady. I remember when God told me to preach one time. I was in Boston preaching a meeting up there. While I was up there, God told me to come back, and He wanted me to preach on hell every single Sunday. Sunday morning one Sunday, Sunday night the next, Sunday morning the next, and until He told me to quit. So I started preaching every Sunday, either Sunday morning or Sunday night on hell. And I remember I got this sight in my, this picture in my mind. I was preaching one Sunday morning in those lines, and we had a young boy that we had been praying for a long time. He was going to the world as fast as he could, had made a profession of faith as a bus kid, but that boy was going the wrong way in a hurry. And that morning, I watched him. He came out of the aisle. He didn't walk out of the pew. He didn't walk down the pew. He literally ran down the aisle and slid in the altar and got born again. Wow. And he's still walking with God today. Wow. See, here's what I'm saying. What's happened to the piercing power of God's word? I mean, I remember when God would work and his word would work so powerfully that even Christians would get a conviction about how they were living, and they would want to change and do something about how they were living. But it isn't that way no more. I don't know what's happened. It just ain't that way. Because you can preach straight as you can, and Christians will find a reason to justify their worldliness and their carnality rather than, I mean, living for God and walk for the Lord. I wonder, and I don't have an answer. Maybe y'all got an answer. But I don't have an answer why God is not using his word like a sword like he used to use it. I don't know why, but that is not happening like it used to. Y'all know that's true, don't you? Yeah. And y'all live long enough to see things like that where God's power is really real when the Word of God is preached. But matter of fact, that's enough. That's enough for my remembering. But anyway, that's just something I guess to think about. I want you to open the Bible, if I understand the Lord correctly, I want you to open the Bible to the book of Exodus, if you would, and I will read from chapter number 16, and I want to encourage, challenge, or whatever. This is your last night of meeting, and I wouldn't want you to leave under my preaching without at least feeling some sort of a challenge in your heart about your Christian life. So I'm going to do it. Matter of fact, you've had a lot of challenges evidently this week from Brother Barry preaching to you. But what a great man of God he is. And I hope the Lord will help us on tonight. Are you in Exodus 16 tonight? Are you? All right. So I want to, here's what I want to try to do. And I'll do my best not to be lengthy, but I'll try to be as short as possible. But I'm going to give you some selected verses in this chapter I'm going to be reading, and I want you to follow with me as I give them to you. All right, so let's start. And by the matter of fact, if you don't already know, this chapter will be about God giving the children of Israel manna. And so let's follow, if you would, verse number 4. So here's what the Lord said. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now, let's skip down to verse number 14, if you would, and verse 14. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And then look at verse number 18. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. And they gathered every man according to his eating. Verse number 19. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. Verse 21, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Now, look at verse 27, if you would. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. Verse 31, and the house of Israel called the name thereof Manna. And it was like a coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Now, I want to have prayer with you. Then I'm going to give you a little thought here with these verses I've read, and hopefully they'll be a help to us. Father, I want to come again to you now and lay myself down at your feet and acknowledge to you tonight, Lord, that I have no power in me whatsoever to do the work of God. But Lord, you can do it through us. So we're going to ask you to do whatever it is you want me to do tonight in this meeting. I pray for every one of us, Lord, that you'd speak to us in a way that only you can. And Lord, we're yours tonight. So Lord, we submit ourselves to you with every fiber of our being. And I want to pray for this church. Lord, you know we love them. We know, you know, Father, they're in our prayers and they're in our heart. And I ask you tonight, God, that you might do a special work in our hearts, and we'll honor you for what you do. In Christ's name, amen. All right, now let me give you a thought, and then I want to try to bring you to that, if you'll let me do that. Well, y'all listen carefully. Here's a thought I want to give you, and that is, don't waste your blessings. All right, let me ask you this question. Has God spoken to you anywhere this week? I don't know. I have not heard all the messages, so I don't know what all God's done. But has God distinctively spoken to your heart about any particular matter this week? Well, here's the danger. The danger, and matter of fact, you think about this now. I'm talking about the God of heaven, who has made over 200 million universes with billion stars in every one of those universes, and yet God singled you out to speak to you. Do you understand how great that was? I mean, for the God of heaven to speak to you, and I mean, to let you know what he wanted out of your life. That is absolutely astounding that a God that vast would single me out and tell me something he wanted me to do. Now, with that in mind, here's what I know. I know that you've got enemies of your soul. Your own flesh is your enemy. The world is your enemy. And Satan is your enemy. And whatever God spoke to you about, you can bank on this, that Satan is using all three of those enemies to work against you to make you forget what God spoke to you about this week. See, whatever God spoke to you about could absolutely change your life. It could change your families if you listen what God spoke to you about. Well, see, here's what Satan wants to do. He wants to work in your life so that tomorrow or maybe 3 days from now, you will not even remember what God spoke to you about. So now, my thought I want to get to is this. Don't waste the blessings God has given you. So now, let's look at this and I'll move along. So this is about the manna tonight. And so you will know this now. You will know that this is a tremendous miracle. Are y'all hearing me now? Now, you think about this. What if this Western North Carolina here, what if suddenly y'all were in such a terrible famine? I mean, you were about to starve to death. Nobody could get to you with food. And you went out tomorrow, and God had bread laying on the ground for you. Would you not say that's a tremendous miracle? Well, now, here's what God did. You got nearly 3 million people that are out in the middle of nowhere. And yet there they are, and they're in need of bread. And the God of heaven has put bread on the ground for them together, and he did it for 40 years. Are y'all hearing me now? I'm talking about that is a vast miracle that God did. And matter of fact, let me tell you how vast it is. It is so vast that if God hadn't have done that, within just a few months, 3 million people would have been dead in the middle of the wilderness. They depended on that miracle God gave. So what I'm saying is, this is a tremendous miracle. But let me remind you this now. In my study and look at this, I saw this. You know, the atmosphere under which God gave this tremendous miracle was not ideal. Matter of fact, they were murmuring when God gave it. Have you murmured any this year? Come on now. Have you murmured in this year? Have you complained any this year? Well, so they were doing that, and yet God did something for them. Oh, so no matter what we've been like, no matter what we've done this year, no matter what our attitude is, no matter what we have done or not done, God still wants to do something miraculous for us. But anyway, so they were just murmuring, and they didn't believe God, and they were starving, and yet God in his mercy, He gave them this blessing. Now, will y'all stay with me a second now? Now, I will show you something that really impressed me when I read this. Will y'all look at verse 15? Look in chapter 16 and look at verse number 15. Are you there? All right? So I want you to listen to what it said. It said, "For when the children of Israel saw it," they saw the manna, "they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was." Now, this is what I want you to get. "And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given." Now, let me add to that verse number 4. Now, skip back up to verse number 4. So God's given the manna, but go back up to verse number 4 now. "And that then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Now, pay attention, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Oh, did y'all hear what God said? He said, here's why I've given the manna. I've not given the manna for them to have something to eat. I have not given the manna so that they won't go hungry. I've not given the manna for that at all. But he said the reason I've given them manna is to prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So the manna was not given just so they could have something to eat. But it was to, and that, you see, God already knew what they were going to do. He already knew how they were going to live. But God gave them the manna to show them what they were going to do after the blessing. Oh, y'all hear me now. There's not a one of us in this meeting tonight, not a one here that God hasn't blessed us. Yeah, but let me ask you this. Do you not understand why God gave you the blessing that he's given you? And some may be blessed a little more than others by material things, but do you know why God's blessed you? It's not just so that you could just prosper more, but God gave whatever blessing he's given you to find out, to show you what you were going to do with God. Would you really follow God? Would you get closer to God because God's given you a blessing? Would you try to get closer? Or will you just kind of take the blessing as a common thing and go on and live your life the way you want to live it? And you know, can I say this? That's what most Christians do. Whenever God blesses them, they say, whoopee, glory to God. And in a little while, they take the blessing and they go back to living just like they've always lived. And so God said, I'm giving this to you so that you're going to find out whether you're going to serve me or whether you won't. Now, I want to show you this and I don't know how much I'm going to show you, but here's what I want to say. Now, you know, when God gave the manna, you know it's a type of three things. When God gave the manna, it's a type, number one, of the Son of God. Number two, it's a type of the Word of God. And number three, it's a type of the blessings of God upon us. So when you look at that, and I don't know that God wants me to say a lot about all that, but I'll just give you a couple of ideas. And verse number 4 of 16, it said, the Lord said, I will rain bread from, now watch what it said, I will rain bread from heaven for you. So which direction did the manna come? The manna came not from the east or the west or the south, but the manna came down from above. Well, let me ask you this. What did our Savior say about himself? He said, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. Amen. So here's what we know. Just as surely as the manna came down, so the Son of God has come down from heaven as well. And so we know it's a type of the Son of God just by the direction that came. But now, look at verse number 14. Will you for just a second? Look at verse 14, and let me touch this. And when the dew of that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing. And then verse number 31 said it was a white thing about like a coriander seed. So watch this now. So the Bible described the manna as a small and round and white. Is that right? So let me ask you this. So that's how it's described. Now, do you reckon that could be a picture of the Lord? Now, what would small represent? Small would represent the humility of the Son of God. And round would represent the perfection of the Son of God. And what about white? Oh my. White would represent the purity and the righteousness of the Son of God. So just like it was like that, then the Son of God is like that as well. And so listen to this one now. Did you know how they treated the manna when they got it? The Bible said they ground it up. Now I don't know how they ground it. They didn't have a grinder like we got, but they ground it up. They put it in mortar and they beat it and they baked it and they seethed it and they boiled it. So every one of those words I gave you, they are, if manna could talk, if manna could speak, it would say, what are you doing? You're making me suffer. You're putting me in a mortar and grinding me. You're beating me. You're making me suffer. You're putting me in the oven and baking me. You're making me suffer. You're boiling me. You're making me suffer. Are y'all hear me now? So the manna had to suffer before it could become useful. Now, what about our Savior? Oh, yeah. Did not Jesus Christ suffer in his experience on the cross of Calvary? So it's a picture of the Son of God in the way that it was treated. Now, I could move along with a little more of that, but it's a picture of the Word of God as well, and so on. And I don't want to weary you with that. But now, I want to say this to you, and I'll be quickly about it. So I want you to look again at verse number 4. Now, watch what it said again. It said, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Did y'all hear that now? All right, so now let's apply that tonight. So if I gave you a pencil and piece of paper and I said, I want you to tell me the blessings that God has given you. And I want you to write them down. Write down those blessings. And then while we're at it, let's think about how those blessings have affected me spiritually. And how those blessings has created something in my life for the Lord. Are y'all hearing me now? All right, so let's just talk about this one. Now, I don't see nobody here that's dead tonight. Matter of fact, I don't see nobody's passed out. So every one of us are living. Is that right? Is that right? All right. And Brother Ronnie said somebody's brother said he won't be here very long. Well, I'm far as I know, I'm not in that boat tonight. I may be, but I don't know it. But now think about this. You've got a life. I mean, your heart is beating. Your lungs are taking in air, and it's sending out oxygen through your body. Your arms are moving. Your legs are moving. And you're able to talk. Are y'all hearing me now? And see, we can see. Brother Carl can't see. You say, well, I'm highly blessed. Are you blessed any more than Carl? Do you have a master's degree? Now, I'm not being ugly mean, but now I could tell when I spoke to Carl, I could tell that Brother Carl was bright. I mean, he's a brilliant man. I watched him singing, and you know what? I watched him singing those songs, and Brother Michael say this thing, and from the first note, oh, Carl opens his mouth, and he starts singing. And here I am, I got two eyes and two ears and a tongue, and I'm looking for the songbook so I can see the words. Well, Brother Mike is blessed. Now, wait a minute now. So, what about your life? What if we said, name the things that God's given you? But look here tonight. You are among the living. Listen to me now. You are among the living. Right. Now, brother in the back, what's your name again? Mike come in while I'm going to the prayer room, and he said, there was a wreck down at Hayesville today. Said a man run into a dump truck or somehow or another, and the man lost his life. Are y'all hearing that? You say, well, Brother Wells, that's just one of them things. I know, but let me ask you this. Did you not think that could happen to you on the way home tonight? Do you not think that some nut could come by and neighbor and run out in front of you and get, or run a red light or run a stop sign? And I mean, some of you could be dead for morning. Do y'all listen to me now? See, that thing that's going thumpity, thumpity, thump in your heart, that is get help and give you life. God's the one that's doing that. You're not in charge of your life. The Bible said in about death, no man has a discharge in that war. See, you can't get out of that, but I'll tell you one thing. You're not dead tonight. Oh, I know some of us may be closer than others, but you're not dead. And that means you have got a gift from God. You've got a blessing from the Heavenly Father in your life. What are you doing with that? See? And here's what God's doing. You may not like what I'm about to say, but that life God has put in your body now, He has given you that life to test you. And that test is, what are you going to do with the blessing of life that I've given you? Are you going to live? Oh, my God. I could not tell you how grieved my life has been lately. When some of the churches I've been in, and I'm certainly not saying this about y'all, but some of the churches I've been in, here's what I'm saying. They talk about worship. They talk about the Lord. They talk about revival, but in their heart, neighbor, they're so wicked and vile, it's ungodly. Are y'all listening to me now? Oh, please listen just a minute. And I preached revival some time ago in this church. And I'm set here, and I could tell the Spirit wasn't the way it should have been. And I knew something about the church. I knew something about what was going on in that church. And sometime during that church, there was a young man in that church. And he was asked to sing a special. And he sang a special. But I knew he was involved in fornication. I knew that he was involved in deep sin. And yet, they're asking him to participate in the worship service. Do you know what that did to me? That grieved me so bad. I fasted 2 days in that meeting trying to get some help for God because I was so grieved with what's happening. Now, here's what happened. God gave that young man the blessing of life. You know what he's doing? He's taking that blessing of life and committing immorality as fast as he can. Are y'all hearing me now? Oh, yeah. And yet we've got good people sitting on our pews, and they're taking the blessing of life that God's given them. And they're disregarding the fact that their body belongs to God, and they're living their life for their own self and not the Lord. And so here's what happened. God's given you life, gave you life today. And that life he gave you today was a test. And you didn't even know it. But it was a test to find out if you would walk with God or if you would not walk with God. If you'd walk for yourself and live for yourself or if you'd walk with God. That's what the gift is for. And what about your health? I mean, every one of us probably, and we got any age on us, we got a little bit, we got some sort of health issue, I guess. But now, can I say this? I don't care what your health issue is in this building tonight. You're not in the place Ronnie's brother is. Are y'all listening to me? You're not in this place tonight. I mean, his health is about deteriorating to where evidently he doesn't even have it. But look at you and I. Are y'all hearing me now? Even Brother Carl can walk. Somebody helps him, but he can walk. And outside of him, every single one of us walked in this building tonight. And so we've got a measure of health about us. So do you know this? God gave you the health that you've got right now to prove you, to test you. Oh, I don't think you're getting it now. But he gave you the hell to test you to find out if you really wanted to serve God or if you didn't want to serve God. Would you serve me because I've given you the blessing of life? Will you serve me because I've given that blessing? Or will you just live for yourself, take the life I've given you and use it? Now, let me digress here a second. I just thought of this. I had a neighbor. that lived two doors out from me. And they were wicked, ungodly people. But I didn't have any tools back then, but I had a handsaw. Y'all know what a handsaw is, don't you? Well, we about forgot what a handsaw is, but I had a pretty good one. And so they sent one of the kids over and said, could we borrow your handsaw? I said, why, sure, I want to be a good neighbor. So I let them have my handsaw. Are y'all hearing me now? So a week went by, I didn't get it back. 2 weeks went by, I didn't get it back. 3 or 4 weeks went by, I didn't get it back. And so I was out one day mowing the yard, and I happened to get me where I could see their carport. And I saw my handsaw laying out, standing up on the carport on the outside of the petition, rusting. So I went out and I said, can I have my handsaw back? Now, wait a minute. Here's what I'm saying. See, I gave them, this simple illustration, but I gave them a gift of my handsaw to use it a while. It was mine. I didn't give them ownership of it, but I gave them a handsaw to use. Are y'all listening to me today? Every time that heartbeat, it's saying, you belong to me. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to me. What are you doing with what belongs to me? You know, I didn't like them taking what belonged to me and mistreating it. Are y'all listening to me tonight? I don't think God is grateful for me taking what belongs to him and using it for myself. And so that life that God's given you, that health God's given you, is, neighbor, is a gift. And God's saying, now, I didn't tell you this when I gave it to you, but I'm testing you. I'm testing you to find out if you're going to walk with me or if you're going to walk with yourself. And can I tell you this now? So I know I'm knowing some things you probably know already. But what about your time? You say, brother, I've got 24 hours a day. No, you don't. See, all that time don't belong to you. That time belongs to God. Oh, I want you to hear me. Every second you live belongs to God. It doesn't belong to you. Oh, look here. Now, look here. Oh, help me, Lord. See, every heartbeat you have, God said, I gave you that. That the moment I've given you today, I gave you that. I gave you that time today. So you've got 24 hours like everybody else, you say. But in reality, see, all that time that God's given you belongs to him. Do y'all ever get disturbed about how you use that time? Do y'all ever get disturbed? Yeah. Listen to me now. I get disturbed. My own heart convicts me. If I'm taking the moments that God has given me and I'm not using it, and probably you said, Brother Wells, does that mean you're not supposed to work? Oh, no, no, no. See, you work as unto him. You do your life as unto him. You work as unto him. You labor as unto him. And God meant it for you to work. He meant it for me to work and neighbor to do things. But you're saying, I'm saying, my time don't belong to me. It belongs to God. Are y'all trying to get a hold of that tonight? It belongs to God. And every minute of that time, God said, I'm giving you a test. I'm testing you today. And my test for you is this. Will you walk in my law or will you walk in your own law? And then I want to move along and say this tonight and just give you the punch and go on. And you know, there's a lot of the things we could just tack in there. Our property, our abilities, our monetary things, and special abilities, special. Oh, I got to give you this. I just got to give you this. So years ago in our church, we had a piano player. As a matter of fact, years we struggled with piano players, and then we finally got one that, you know, stayed with us for a while, and she's still there. So I kept saying, why don't you young people find out something you can do? Why don't you young people learn to play a guitar, play something, so you can add to the worship services? And so one day, one of our little boys, he came in, he sat on the side over here, and he had him a little guitar, you know, and he was working on it. Didn't play worth a flip, but he kept working on it. Y'all, you know, I mean, really? And I was proud that, you know, he's trying. Well, he got to know, you got to hear me. He got to developing. I mean, he really got good. And then he got to playing the banjo. I mean, you talking about eating a banjo up. I mean, he could do it. Let me tell you how good he is. Let me tell you how good he is. He's playing, and I don't know what he's doing now, but he's been playing for some of those shows over in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. I mean, professionally, that's how good he is. But let me tell you what he did. He, that gift that God gave him, he said, not out loud, but in his mind, it's my gift. I worked on this. I worked hard to get it. So he took his gift. And he took it out to the streets of Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. And he started prostituting his gifts out there. And I use the right word. He's prostituting his gifts out there. And all he ever played, all we ever played was gospel music. You know where he is now? Where he is now? He's playing in the bars and the places where he can get, yeah. And he, in the process, a boy raised under solid preaching. He took up with a girl that was a drug addict and just lived with her a while. Had two kids and finally married her. Y'all hear me now? Now she's took up with her drug trafficking. She's gone another way. And neighbor, he's gone his way. Now grandma and grandpa's left with the kids. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be mean about what I'm telling you. But here's what I'm saying. That boy took the talents that God gave him. And he didn't recognize them as a gift from God. And what he did was, he took them and did not recognize it. And now, he said, I'll use my gifts for me. But he didn't know it. But God was using those gifts and those talents to test him to see if he'd walk in God's law or if he'd not walk in God's law. Now, can I say this tonight? I just feel like I ought to say it. I don't know how people's minds work. I don't really know. But you might be here tonight and you might say, well, Brother Wells, I come to church. I'm walking in God's law. Oh, no. You're not in church. If you come three times a week, you're not here over probably 6 hours in a week. So what do you do with the other hours you have? Those other hours belong to God, just like the hours you're here at church. Are y'all listening? I'm telling you the truth, see? And we're living our life like our life belongs to us and don't belong to God. And he said, I'm giving you this blessing to prove you whether you walk in my law or whether you're not walking my law. Now, I want to give you this, and I will not keep you much longer. Now, I want to show you this now. So the man, the blessing of manna was a tremendous blessing from God. Oh, the hand of the good God of glory sat down and gave them that manna. But that's not the only blessing God gave them. But God just magnified that one. Now, I want you to listen to me now. You remember the title of my little message tonight? Do y'all remember the title? Don't waste your blessings. That's what I want to emphasize tonight. Look at all the blessings God's given you. Look at all that God's done for you. If we really, really had the right feelings in our heart about the blessings God's put on us, we probably would not have even started service. You would still be in the altar thanking God for what God has done for you. If we really had the right attitude about what God has done. But is it possible to waste God's blessings? Yes, I want you to look at your Bible. What a great miracle God did. But look, if you would please, in verse number 21. And here's what the Bible said. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Now, drop down to verse number 27. And let me locate it right quick and read it to you. Look at verse 27. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. So here's what God did. He gave them the manna 6 days a week. Every morning, the manna came. On the sixth day, they were together twice as much manna, so they would have it on the seventh day. Is that true? Is that true? Well, now here's what God showed us here. So here's what God wants you to see. I've given you this wonderful blessing of God. And if you don't harvest it right, you'll lose the blessing. Oh, no, you got to hear me. You got to hear me. You got to hear me. If you don't harvest, see, look at verse 21. It said, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So here's what could have happened. If a man said today, you know, I don't feel too good today. I think I'm going to sleep in this morning, Gertrude. And so he slept in. So when about 10 o'clock, he wakes up. He said, you know, I think I'm going to go gather the manna. And when he got out there to gather the manna was gone. Are y'all hear me now? Do you know what? That manna that was gone could not be replaced under any circumstances. See, somebody said, well, Brother Wells, I'm going to turn an excuse to God. I'll get my manna back. No, 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 no. When that blessing is gone, it's lost forever. It's lost forever, forever. And so, look at this. And some of them, they lollygagged around the sixth day. Then on the seventh, they went out together, and the blessing is gone. It was not, you know why? Because they wasted it in the harvest. Now, look down, if you would, please, at verse number 19. So Moses said now, and he said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not to Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. Now, here's what I saw in that little verse, and that is they lost their blessing by being lazy and undisciplined and not going out and doing what God wanted to do. But they lost their blessing by trying to hoard it up. Yeah, see, they said, I'll just hoard this one up here. But God said, you can't do that. Said, if you hoard it up, that won't work. So some of them tried it, and it bred worms. And then the next morning, it was stinking pretty bad, evidently. Matter of fact, I think God made it to be a terrible smelling thing to rebuke them, neighbor, for their losing their blessing. Now, let me give you this. Let's try to wind this down. So here's what I'm trying to give you. Let's talk about this harvesting the blessing a minute. Let's talk about if you lollygag around and don't harvest the blessing. In other words, you don't tap into it. I'm thinking, I said something to you. I really hope my daughter don't hear this. But I remember, you know, now, y'all have heard Candy sing. Have y'all ever heard Andy sing? Both of those children of mine have got tremendous musical abilities. But that youngest daughter had a voice that would put both of them in the shade. I'm telling you. But she lollygagged around in her self-life and didn't harvest the blessing. She smoked and did all those other things that she was taught not to do. And now she talks raspy like a man talks. You know why? She lost her blessing. She wouldn't tap into what God gave her. She lost it. Oh, my. I passed her long enough to have stories that break your heart of people that were under my ministry and that heard the pure word of God. But said, no, I can't. I don't want that. I don't want to live like that. I want something easier. Oh, my. I remember a young boy. When I went to church, there was a young boy named Daryl. And Daryl tried to convince me he'd saved and knew the Lord. And I never did really think he did. And then instead of trying to convince me to do the Lord, he started trying to convince me that he's called to preach and just, you know, never to announce it. But Daryl couldn't break free with drugs and a wicked lifestyle. He couldn't do it. So he and this boy was out one night and in a big old Cadillac. And there's doubt on what all he's doing, but they had a bad wreck. And I got a call from the hospital. This old boy that drove the ambulance, he knew me. And so I went down to the hospital to see Daryl wasn't dead. But the other boy that's driving, I knew him too. He'd used to spit. He'd shoot spit wads at me while I was preaching to him down the jail. And the ambulance driver said, "Preacher, you want to see this? You want to see this boy?" I said, "Yeah, I think I would." I went in. He opened the door and took me in this room. There was a gurney, and underneath the gurney was a pool of blood. I bet it was this big around. And on that gurney was a boy named Marty, and he was lost without God and went to hell without Savior. And the other old boy, he didn't die, but he got crippled up as a result of that wreck. And all these years, I would witness to him and talk to him, and he never would give his life to the Lord the way he should. And his mama was saved, and some of his family members are saved that come to our church, but he wouldn't tap into the gift of life that God gave him, and he lost it all. Lost it all. Lord, help us. I think I want to tell you this. Y'all ever heard of Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi? Y'all ever heard of that? We had a young boy in our church, and this is when I lived in Dalton, Georgia. We had a young boy in our church, and there were some other kids in our neighborhood wanted to know if he could go with them down to Camp Zion. So we, Pastor and I and others, we pitched in. We made it possible for him to go. Boy, he came back. I'm telling you, that boy was fired up for God and full of the Spirit of the Lord. I mean, he was just a blessing. You know, the blessing God gave him, he wouldn't tap into it the way he should. So I get a call one day, Pastor called me and said, and I can't remember the boy's name right now, but he called his name and said, "Did you hear he's dead?" I said, "No, I didn't hear he was dead." And let me tell you what he had. Here's what he did. He would not tap into what God gave him. He wanted to live his own lifestyle instead of doing what God wanted. Although I cannot tell you what happened to this boy. I can't tell you. But he came in one day, and he got his mother's clothing. I mean, from her undergarments to the hose. I mean, everything that a woman would wear, he put it on. And he was wearing that all those garments that a woman would wear. And he took an electrical cord and wrapped it around a headboard of a big bed and slid off the bed. And when they found him, that's what they found. A young boy that would not give God the recognition of the blessing of life and time God had given him. And his little mama, his little daddy, and the rest of his family spend the rest of their life wondering, what was he thinking? What was he doing? We won't have to say that about you, will we? If you leave this world in a way you shouldn't leave it, when God's given you such blessings of life and time and such talents and such gifts and abilities, and you waste them, just waste them. What will we be saying about you? But Larry, we still honor your daddy. We still honor Brother William. I don't know all about Brother William's time, but I want to tell you one thing. When he left here, everybody knew Brother William loved God and served God. When When Sammy Allen died, nobody wondered if Brother Sammy wasted his blessing from God. Nobody wondered about that. Amen. I'm sure that y'all know some as well. They're great people. You know what? You probably had church members here. Not preachers, not great people, but just good, steady, godly people. Didn't waste their life. God put a gift of praying in them, and they prayed for you and called your name out to God in prayer. When they left here, you remember them not as somebody living on the street and, you know, and living a rough life, but you remember that somebody in God gave them the blessing of being a prayer warrior, and they prayed for you and prayed for you. When I answered the call of God to preach, there's a little man coming to our church, little old short guy, and his little wife, she's a little bigger than him, but she's humped over a little bit. His name was Ed. Her name was Willie Roberts. He dipped snuff like, you know, he dipped it like, you know, they made the last can that I've got in. He stayed with it. Did you find fault with? No. If he wanted to kill himself with that stuff, that was his business. But I'll tell you what he did. God put in his heart to love me, to love Carolyn, like you would not believe. When that little old man, matter of fact, I didn't get to make either one of their funerals. I was away and didn't get to make either one of the funerals. But my mind has forgot a lot of people, but I have never forgotten Ed Roberts. Little snuff dipping short guy who loved the Lord. And he'd call on God in behalf of that little old preacher that God's called out of our church. Lord, I want you to do something with him, he'd pray. Here I am. Here I am, 60-something years later. Still going. And Brother Willie, Sister Willie and Brother Ed's prayers are still being answered this day. That's how folks are remembering him. That's how I'll always remember him. Because the abilities and life and time that God gave him, he didn't waste it. Will you waste what God's given you? Will you waste it? Will you not harvest little Sandy? Little Sandy. I mean, you just wouldn't believe it, but her voice was tremendous. Now, she sounds like a bullfrog. And she can never, ever again. That ability is gone forever. Are you listening to me? What kind of thing has God put in your heart? Has God put in your heart to memorize a scripture? Is God put in your heart to give out tracts? Has God put in your heart to pray? Is he put in your heart to be here early and pray? What's God favored your heart with? Are you going to neglect it and waste it? I remember Carolyn's grandmother. She actually was from over in this part of the country, this part of the world. And when me and Carolyn really got her life straightened out with the Lord, I'd go by and I'd ask her and say, "Won't you go to church with us?" Oh, she said, "No, not today. No, I don't believe I'm going to go today." We'd ask her, "Won't you go to church with us?" No, I don't think I'm going to go right now. I'm not going to go now. Then one day the tables turned and the ability to go to church was lost. I'd go by and see her and I'd say, I mean, not just a visitor, I mean, not even invited to church because I knew she couldn't come. And she'd say, oh, I wish I could go to church. Oh, I wish I could go to church. But see, she had the abilities. She had the time. But she wasted the abilities and the blessings God gave her. What would we say about you? What would mom and daddy say about you? What would brothers and sisters say about you? What would folks that you worship with that know you just make excuses for not doing what's right with the Lord? I'm not trying to be ugly, mean. I'm telling you I'm not. But what would it be like when you can't? Now, here's what I'm telling you. Brother Mike and I, we were talking. I don't even remember how the subject came up. But we was talking about getting disabled or something or other. And I said to Mike, I said, you know, the day's coming when we won't be able to be here. If the Lord lets us live, you know, the day will come when we won't even be able to come. We won't be able to serve God. We won't be able to knock on doors. We won't be able to give out tracts. We'll be locked in somewhere. So what am I doing with what I got now? What am I doing with what I got now? That life you got is a blessing from God. That heartbeat you got is a blessing from God. The seconds you got is a blessing from God. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? And here's something you need to remember. I'm done. Here's something you need to remember. When that manna was delayed gathering it, it melted and could never be replaced. And when they did not eat the manna, they, instead of eating it, they harbored it. See, when you save your life, y'all do know this. When you save your life, God has guaranteed you that you're going to lose it. I mean, that is a solid guarantee from God. If you save your life for yourself, God guarantees you you're going to lose it. I had this story. I probably told y'all this, but I'll tell it to you again in closing. I had this lady. She never did join our church. But she came to church. Her husband owned the local radio station in our town. I had a radio broadcast on there. I was on there 5 days a week for 40 years. And she, I don't know, something happened where she was going to church and she left it. And she started coming to us. She never did join. But I watched her and she would go to this little widow. She would go that little widow. She would go that little widow. I asked her, I said, what are you doing? And she pulled out little handkerchiefs that she had crocheted. Y'all know what that is? She had crocheted. And she had crocheted on there. Weeping endureth for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, I can't crochet. But she could. And she took the abilities that God gave her. And she used them to be a blessing, to be a help to somebody else. What are you doing? What are you doing? Don't waste it. Someday if you do, someday you'll come and say, it's gone. I can't get it back. It's gone. I can't get it back. Father, I thank you for your help today.